Very kind. Someone's left me a £2 coin. Thank you very much. Put them in my £2 coin jar that I have at home. Great to see you all this morning. Welcome to East Mains Baptist Church. If you've not done so, why don't you say hello to the person or the folks round about you? If you don't know them, tell them your name or something like that. Rory just broke the bad news to me that someone actually dropped the £2 coin on the way into the church. So if you think it's yours, you know what? Come and claim it. If nobody's claimed it, it's going in the offering basket. There we go. This morning we come to our last Sunday morning on preaching through the mission-shaped grace material in connection with the life groups that many of you are part of. And I know as life groups, you're all in different places where this is session 8, but I know some groups are somehow still in session 4 and things like that. But just keep going with mission-shaped living, and when you finish that material, then come and join us again in the weekly material that we produce based on the Sunday morning services. But you may remember back in September 19 last year, I stood up here and told you we had the desire as a church to see the kingdom of God growing in East Kilbride and the surrounding areas. And that phrase, kingdom of God, is really an important phrase, because when we talk about growth, it's not about EMBC. And what I mean by that is the danger is that any aspirations we see to grow, it's not because we want to look bigger, we want to look better. It's always because, I'm just bursting that bubble, it's always because we want to see God's family growing, the kingdom of God growing. We want to see someone who doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior coming into the family of God. If that involves them coming to EMBC, fantastic. But ultimately, our longing is to see the people that we're connecting with coming into God's family through Jesus. And so we started in year 2 of our vision of a new way of living with the phrase, each one, reach one, please God. And I said very simply, we were just going to look at the shape of our lives and how we can bring the good news of Jesus into the shape and rhythm of our daily lives. And that word shape is going to be a key word for us this morning, because as we'll see this morning, we're going to touch on this, that there are general things that we can all do. But there are also specific things that God has gifted you to do, that God has shaped you to do in your life. But before I come to this, I just want to remind you in many ways on where we started this journey. And we started the journey in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. If you've got a Bible, you just might want to look there quickly. It's not going to come up on the screen, so you need to have a Bible or your phone. Just very quickly, we started this journey in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 10, where the Lord chose and sent out, if you remember, 72 of his disciples, and he sent them out in pairs. And when we look back at that verse, we were just reminding ourselves that we are a sent people. The church is called to go. And that is a general thing. You know, nobody can argue that God has not sent us out on mission. As he says to the church, go out and make disciples. So we're all called to go and make disciples. So there's a general calling on each of our lives to be out and to be witnesses. We're called to be disciples. You know, think about when he called the first disciples as well. He said to them, you know, you're going to go and fish for people. And as we were going through that chapter in Luke chapter 10, we were just reminding ourselves that it is a shared responsibility. You know, sometimes, if you remember, I said, you know, when we picture fishing, we just picture someone standing by themselves at the side of a loch somewhere, escaping everyone else. They're in their own wee bubble. But when we think about what Jesus was saying to those early disciples about going out to fish, he's speaking to them as a team. This was something that they were to do together in a boat together. So we've all got our part to play in general ways in what it means to go and make disciples. But there's also specific ways that they were sent by Jesus as well. But when we were in Luke 10, we also looked at how we were to go in confidence. You know, there is a harvest. God is at work in people's lives. There are people around us who are looking for God. There is a harvest, so we have to go in confidence. We have to go confident in our message. Romans 1, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believe. So we're sent out confident that there's a harvest and confident in Jesus. Now, I was reading some amazing statistics this week, and it was just reflecting on how God is moving across this world. You know, in the last 15 years alone, they estimate that in Africa, they have seen a 51% increase in the church, which someone who's good with stats has worked out is an average of around 33,000 people a day coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And there's a danger that we sit here in the West and they tell us we're declining, but you know what, across the world the church is growing and expanding at an incredible rate, and God is still at work in the West as well. When we were in Luke 10, you know, part of what we reflected on is we're sent out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Rory preached some months ago, and from Acts 1 and 8, where we receive power and we go out and we're witnesses. In Luke 10, we're looking in verse 5 at what it means to connect. Jesus said, when you enter someone's house, say, may God's peace be on this house. And if they welcome you to stay, then stay there. And we reflected on the importance of those relational connections that we have in our lives. It's so important that we have folks around us that we're connecting with in our lives. And we looked in part at what this meant last week about being willing to kind of open up our lives to people and open up our homes and our tables and have hospitality with people. We looked last week about how that's not just about actions, but it's about words as well. And we see that in Luke 10 in verse 9, where Jesus said to them, you know, go out, I'm sending you out, heal the sick. There was action, but he also said to them, tell them that the kingdom of God is near you. So as we're going out to do mission, there are actions and there are words, and they're both needed. We need to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ, and we need to do things as well. We were thinking about that last week, the young man that was brought in, and his friends lowered him down before Jesus, and Jesus didn't heal him straight away. Jesus used his words first. He healed what was in the young man needed in his life, and he said, young man, your sins are forgiven. And then he healed him of his physical ailment. Both words and action needed in mission. And so Luke chapter 10, it kind of catapulted us into this mission-shaped living journey that we've been on. I've sent people, a people that are confident in who Jesus is and that there's a harvest. People that are looking to connect relationally with people, sharing their lives in words and actions. And I've really enjoyed preaching through mission-shaped living, and I've also been really challenged by it as well, as I know many of you have. But one of the challenges when we give a new focus to something, and I shared this in the message between Christmas and New Year, one of the challenges is we can get stuck a bit. I'll not ask you all how you're doing with your New Year resolutions, if you made them or not. Maybe you've got a bit stuck with it already a few weeks into the New Year. But we can get stuck at something that we start. We can stop something that we can start. And, you know, some of the things we've talked about over the last months, you know, about eating meals with people, about engaging in conversations, about being generous to helping others, about reading Bible with folks. Like anything, there is a danger that we can get stuck and we stop doing it and we stand still. It's a bit like that children's game. I know we play it sometimes at the holiday club. I think it's maybe called Trees or something. And if someone tigs you, you've just to stand still and spread your arms out, and you can't move until someone runs under your arm. You're kind of just stuck there. And sometimes there's things that we start to do and we get stuck at it. We stop doing what we what we're meant to be doing. I mean, think about it. A very general thing that the church should be doing is mission. Is mission. And yet sometimes even a local church can get stuck and stops doing what should be at the very heart of any church. And that is mission. There are also specific things in our own lives that we're shaped for that we can get stuck and stop doing. So we're going to take a look in two Bible verses, one in the Old Testament this morning and one in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we're going to look at a whole nation that has got stuck, and God is going to use a young man's faith to unlock them and get them going again. And then in the New Testament, we're going to look at how God just reminds each of us from His Word that each of you here today have specific things that God has gifted you in. But firstly, we're in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Very, very famous story, so I'm not going to read it all. It is, of course, the story of David and Goliath. And many of you know the story. The two nations are lined up across from each other. The Israelite nation and the Philistines. And the Philistines have their champion, Goliath. And every day, Goliath comes out and he challenges the nation of Israel to send someone out who will meet him in combat. And he's this man, he's about 9 foot tall. He's kind of been birthed in war. And he comes out and he insults the nation of Israel and he insults their God. And every time he comes out, they run away in fear. They are stuck. They've got this challenge in front of them and they're not going out to meet it. Instead, they're running away. And every day, they're stuck in this negative place of negative thoughts and of negative thought patterns, and it's draining them, and they just keep running away. Now, let me just step out the story a minute. You know, there's a challenge in front of us when it comes to mission. And let's be honest at times, who of us have not frozen in front of that challenge at times? You know, when your work colleague said to you, "What did you do yesterday on Sunday?" You're like, oh, this is my chance to tell him I was at church. But, you know, and you kind of freeze. Oh, I just hung about. And then you do. We've all been in those moments when we've been faced with a challenge and we've just kind of frozen in that moment. And so, you know, there can be giants in mission that we run up against at times. You know, everyone in my work, how am I ever going to speak to them about Jesus? They're so anti-church. Or maybe just that person, maybe one of the folks that you've identified through Mission Shaped Living, and you feel a bit stuck. It's like, I don't know where to go to with them. I don't know how to go to that next point with them. Or maybe you're just scared how to actually speak to them more about Jesus. So there are giants that we run up against in mission. But let me take you back into the story. And in this situation arrives young David, the son of Jesse. His brothers are fighting in the war. He arrives, and for over 40 days, there's been this standoff has been taking place. And as he arrives, out comes Goliath again. Who will come and fight me? And they're all shaken and they're all scared. And David arrives with supplies and he hears Goliath coming out. And David is like, who's this guy that he should defy the armies of the living God? And just incredible, this young man's faith actually starts to move this whole nation that are stuck in fear, this whole army. No one else is talking like this. Who's this guy who defies the living God? And David ends up in front of Saul, and David says to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. And Saul's kind of like, you know, that's not going to happen. You're just a young boy. There's no way it's going to happen. This guy's been a warrior all his life. And you're just this young man who's turned up with some cheese and grain from your father for your brothers. And David's like, I've tended my father's sheep all my days. When a lion or a bear took one of the sheep, I went after it and I killed it. I've killed the lion and the bear. This Philistine will be like one of them. You know, there's a whole message in these words alone about the importance of remembering the victories that God has brought in your life in the past when you face a new challenge. And you see, David, I've not got the whole time to go into the history, but when you look at it, David had something that Saul never had. Saul was a broken leader pretty much from the outset. But David turns up, this young man, and David had victories in his life. Saul didn't have that to look back on, but David had victories to look back on. You know, just this week, I started to think back over the times in my own life where I've maybe faced a challenge, and God's brought it. God's brought me through it. God's enabled me to overcome it. And so when the next challenge comes, I've got something to look back on. I've got a victory in the past to look back on. You know, one of my favorite verses, and forgive me if I've mentioned it before, involves David. And later on in his life, bizarrely, David is here fighting against the Philistines. Later on in his life, for a number of different reasons, he's kind of with the Philistines. And the Philistines have gone off to fight, and David's gone with them. And then the Philistines think, wait a minute, do we really want this guy with us? Because we, you know, they think, and so they send him back. And David's got this whole kind of group of vagabond kind of army fighting men with him. And they go back, and when they get back to where they were staying, everything's gone. You know, this group of folk have come in and they've raided their camp and they've taken everything away, and all their wives and all their children have gone, and David's men start to turn on them. And I just love, there's this little phrase where it tells that David withdrew from them, and it says David strengthened himself in the Lord. And I think in that moment, David probably looked back, and there's probably a number of things, but he probably looked back and thought, wait a minute, I stood before Goliath and you gave me victory in that moment. You will give me victory in this moment. And they go and they get all their wives and their children back. As exciting as this is, it's not actually the key verse that God drew me to, although for us this morning. What happens next? David is like, the Lord has rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, and he will rescue me from this Philistine. And Saul's like, okay, on you go, the Lord be with you. And this is the verses for us this morning, because when it comes to mission, when it comes to being this sent people that go out confident in the message of Jesus, confident that there's a harvest, looking to connect, looking to have compassion, looking to live generously, when it comes to us going out, we have to recognize that we are all shaped differently. We are not clones. There are general things and general practices, but we'll do them in different ways. We share the same general calling, but there are specifically things that we do differently. Verse 38, I've come to the verses. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened the sword over the tunic and tried to walk around because he was not used to them. And David said, I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took off his staff and his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. And we all know what happens. He plants one of those stones right smack in the middle of Goliath's head. Down goes Goliath. He picks up Goliath's sword and he chops off Goliath's head. And the whole nation of Israel, this whole army that have just been stuck in this place of fear, suddenly their faith goes from down here to up there, and they rush out and they rout the Philistines' army. One young man, faith in God, built on his past, knowing his sheep though, knowing how he was to fight, got the whole nation unstuck and going again. Now I often wonder what would have happened if David had gone out wearing that armor. Well, I think we all know what would have happened. Goliath would have probably squashed him like a bug on the ground, because the armor did not fit his shape. The armor was fitted for Saul, not for David. And one of the greatest ways we keep going forward for God is understanding how he has specifically shaped and gifted us. You know, maybe Saul was out of kindness saying to David that day,
You better at least have a sword. You better at least have some armour. You better at least look the part if you're going to go out there. But he was hindering who David actually was. And this is challenging for many of us, actually, when it comes to mission. I don't know about you, but we've all known those sort of people that are just able to just walk up to anyone and just start talking to them about Jesus. You're like, how did he do that? We've all seen these folk that stand up at these conferences and just preach about Jesus, and then the whole front is full of folk, and you think, how's that, you know, what's going on there? And somehow we can look at sometimes at these people and we, you know, sometimes think, I'm not like them. And we try and be like them when we're not actually called to be like them. They've got an anointing on their life for that kind of ministry. We've not all got that. But somehow we feel at times we want to model ourselves and find a technique, but we're all different. There's a danger at times that we put on armor when we should be picking up our sling. There's a danger as a church that we can fall into this trap. You know, there's a danger that you look at another church and you think, wow, look what they're doing. That's amazing. I want to become like them. I sat in Hillsongs in Sydney and I thought, oh, it would be great to be like Hillsongs in Sydney. And God was like, Mark, no. I'm calling you to be East Mains, to be who they're meant to be. But we can all at times look to put on the armor when we should be holding the sling. But we, you know, we can learn from others. But if David had tried to be like Saul, he would have been killed that day, and the nation would have been enslaved still. But he had faith in God, rooted in his previous victories, and he knew his shape. He knew he was better with a sling than with the armor. You know, sometimes we can find ourselves serving God, holding a sword rather than a sling. And sometimes thinking, you know, I don't think I'm suited for this. How have I ended up doing this? Sometimes we just drift into things and we think, and we think, I'm not suited for this. I should, sometimes we end up doing things that maybe we're not shaped for. But yet sometimes, and I've learned this in my own life, sometimes we need to put on the armor to know that it's not for us. Sometimes we need to try something before we actually know that's not what we're shaped for. You've heard me tell me my famous story before, and I'm going to tell it again because it's better I laugh at my own mistakes than other people's. But when we were in church in Canada, we were involved in what was called the Timothy Training Program for leaders in the church. And part of that was they gave us experience at trying out all different things. We didn't just turn up on a Wednesday for classes. There was different things that we had to get involved in the church, specific tasks, kids ministry, preaching, visiting, tech stuff. And this lady came every year from down somewhere in the southern states for a weekend of healing ministry. And they always videoed it. It was always going to get recorded, and then they would burn it into DVDs, and they would sell the DVDs. And so some of us in the Timothy training program, we were given these specific tasks, of three of us, of videoing one of her messages. In that moment, someone put Saul's armor onto me. I was up the front. The church is packed. I don't know, maybe hold about 600-700. It was quite a bigger church. And I was down the front with the video all set up, recording her. I thought I was doing wonderfully, zooming in, zooming out, watching her every move. She moved everywhere. She was a nightmare. I thought I was doing great. I just hadn't connected the audio cable. So when it came to it, she looked great. Nobody, and all this caused a big drama because they weren't going to be able to produce these DVDs, and you know that was going to be a loss. Oh, anyway, I am not a tech person. It just isn't going to happen, you know. That's what happens sometimes. And there's things that we can all do. There are very general things that we can all do, but there are specific things that God will have gifted and called you to. We've all got our part to play dependent on how we're shaped and gifted. When I think back to Luke 10, when God sent out that 72, I don't think they were all clones. I don't think they had all the same personalities. I don't think they all had the same gifts. They were all given that same general thing. Go and proclaim. Go in action and pray for folk. But they would all have been different. Some of them would have probably been more easily going up and chatting to folk. Some of them would have been better at praying for folks. They wouldn't have been the same. They would have different gifts and different abilities. And think about what we were talking about last week, about hospitality. You know, I know some of you have that gift of just opening up your whole house to people. You don't mind if people come and they end up chatting in your bedroom or here, there and everywhere. You just open up your whole house. You've got. But others of us with that gift of hospitality, it's like, you know what, I'll open up my house, but you just stay in the living room. And other of us, we just like to meet folk in cafe. It's the same gift. It's just very done in very different ways, depending on how we are. You know, Paul takes what we see in this Old Testament story and he expands it for us. Because just like David was not Saul, we're all gifted in different ways. And Paul, in Ephesians, this is just one example, he starts to explain this to that young church that was growing and expanding throughout the world. He says in Ephesians 4, "For there is one body and one spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one baptism, one faith, our God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ." Verse 11, he goes on to say, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastor and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ." You know, Paul in this text, he gives us a big general picture. There is one body, the church, with that same general calling to go and make disciples, to be disciples that make disciples. But Paul then gets more specific. In fact, in NIV, he translates it, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." In other passages, like in Corinthians, Paul talks about there being one body with many parts, and each part is needed for the one body. We've all got different gifts. Sometimes what Paul calls here in as grace, as the NIV translates it, we refer to as spiritual gifts. You can read about them later. Gifts of healing, gifts of administration, gifts of prophecy. You know, I love, if you're reading through John McGinley's book on mission-shaped grace, I love how he describes the gifts as being like a toolbox. Anybody got a toolbox? Yeah. It's just the men that were putting their hands up there. Come on. Yeah, come on. Yeah, Francis has got her hand up. Good stuff. Toolbox. You know, he describes the gifts as being like this toolbox. And, you know, when I look out at the church, I think what is so exciting, when I look out at us today, you know, I don't have all the tools in my box. But when I look out here, I look out at so many people. Each of you have got a gift. Each of you have got something that God has given you, gifts and abilities that you bring into the local church for God to use in the mission of the church. You know, if we put all our tools into the one box, we would have a toolbox that any man cave would be envious of. You know, some of you are incredible administrators. Some of you have got that evangelistic ability to just speak to anyone about Jesus. Some of you are pastorally gifted. You're gifted with teaching. You're gifted at tech. You're gifted at worship. You're gifted at welcoming people. You've got the gift of prophecy, the gift of knowledge. The list goes on and on. You can work with children. You can work with youth, some of you. Some of you can do catering. We've all got gifts and abilities that we bring into the local church that are specific to us, that we can use for the glory of God. You know, it's kind of a bit like I went to take a cup of I don't really drink diluting juice much, but I went to have diluting juice this week. I thought, oh, I'll just have some diluting juice. And I made myself, poured it in, made it in, and I drank it. I thought, oh, this is so strong. And then I looked in the bottle and it says it's concentrated. And, you know, some of us, when we think about the gifts that we've got, there are things that God has given you that is, how could I put it, it's more concentrated, it's more stronger in your life than it might be in someone else's life. It's important that we know how we've been shaped by God for when it comes to doing mission, when it comes to serving in the local church. Paul says we're gifted to serve in the church to bring glory to God. The church is not about one person who has it all. It's about a group of people who together are gifted in particular ways for serving God. You know, David had an experience and he knew how it shaped his life. He'd fought the lion and he'd fought the bear with the sling. And he would have to learn more in his life. You know, he would go on and he would step into very quickly being a leader, and he would have to find out his shape as a leader. That'd be a key thing for David as he went on. When I think back to that Timothy training program, we started to learn our gifts by actually doing things. And you know, people ask, how am I shaped? I don't know how I'm shaped. The best way to find out how you're shaped is actually to start doing things, to start serving. You might find out that you put on armor and you think, oh, that's not for me. I remember a friend of mine years ago thinking God had gifted him to preach. And he came to me and he said, Mark, God's gifted me to preach. And it was years ago. I hadn't even done much preaching. He got up and he preached. And I thought, oh, no. I'm not saying, you know. And he did this a few times. And thankfully, one of the leaders in the church must have pulled him aside and said, you know, I don't think this is your gifting, you know. But I remember him coming and saying, you know, you know, Mark, I've realized I'm not gifted for preaching. I was like, oh, I'm so glad. He said, he didn't use those words, but he was basically saying, this isn't my shape. He said, but this is what he did say. I'm going to invest more in my guitar playing and worship leading. See, that's where he was gifted. He had tried something, though. He had put on the armor, and that was okay. He had put it on, and it hadn't gone well, and that's okay. We get so stressed out at times about failing at something, don't we? But he had put it on. It had not gone well. Thankfully, he'd seen that, and folk around him had seen that and spoke that into his life. You know, he tried it on, but then he picked up his sling again. You know, he picked up his guitar and he said, you know, I've got a guitar and I've got a voice that I can use in another way to bring glory to God. That was his gifting as a worship leader. And, you know, it's really exciting in the local church, and I've seen it so many times. You know, someone is asked to do something and they say, oh, I'll not be any good at that. That's just human fear that we all go through at times. And then you see them getting involved and it's almost like this spiritual penny's dropping and they're like, maybe I am called to do this. Maybe I'm gifted to do this. Maybe this is how God has shaped me. But in the same way, I've seen people take up something and they've come and said, this isn't my shape. And that's great. Because you know what? If it's not how God shaped you, then you can just get stuck in a rut doing something that you're not called to do. You know, as we come to the end of the course on mission-shaped living, I personally feel that we're just at the start of what it means to be going into a new season of mission for us as a church. Each one, reach one, please God, isn't just for 1 year. It's for the rest of our lives that God calls us to do that. But we need to be careful we don't get stuck. You know, we always need to be asking as a local church, are we doing mission? Are we doing mission? In our own lives, we always need to be asking, am I connecting with the people around me? You know, like that army of the Israelites, we can get stuck. We can get stuck in fear. And we can just think, we see a giant ahead of us. We see some challenge and we get stuck there. That's why it's important to look back at what God has brought you through. David can look back and think, I defeated the lion, I defeated the bear. I'm going to defeat this man. But he also knew his shape. He knew at that moment in his life how God had shaped him. He knew he was not a man of the sword, but a man of the sling at that time. The armor was placed on him, weighed him down. He had to take it off and pick up the sling. And it's so important when I think when we come back and think about mission that we know how we're shaped for it. You know how you're shaped. Some of you here are just incredible at connecting with people really quickly. You know, you can stand at the bus stop and get chatting. I've got a friend, he can stand at the bus stop and get chatting to people and just make conversation with them. Some of you here are incredibly gifted at dealing with some of those deep apologetic issues that many of us dread if someone asked us, tell us about suffering, how do you understand suffering? Some of you are very gifted at entering into those sort of conversations. But we've all got that same general call on our lives to go and do mission. But you need to know your sheep. And often that comes through that old saying, trial and error at times. You know what? And we don't like error. We fear it. But actually, sometimes when you're trying something, you learn more about yourself. You learn more about how God has actually shaped you. So I want to encourage you to keep going, to keep trying. Don't get scared if you get it wrong, because as you're doing that, you will find your shape. But you know, there's a danger when you get stuck that you just stay stuck. Maybe there's someone that you've been connecting to missionally and you're like, I don't know where to go with this now. And you're in that place of being, you know that next step is actually to talk to them more about Jesus. And you're stuck seeing the Goliath. I want to just encourage you this morning to remember what that young boy David did. He came into a whole army that was stuck. And he looked back and he looked at how God had shaped him. And he went out and he took on Goliath. You have been uniquely shaped by God. There are things that you can do that I can't do. There's things that you can do that the person next to you can't do. Never undervalue how God has gifted you in particular ways. And use your gifts and experiment with them and speak to people about them as well. Do you think I'm gifted? My friend came to me all those years ago. Do you think I'm gifted at preaching? Thankfully, someone else said to him, no. But at times we need to have the courage to say to each other, you know what, I can see a gift in you for that. You know, and just, you know, build each other up for an encouragement as you see people serving around you. I'm going to invite the band to come back up. And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word into our lives this morning. We thank you that we are not all the same and you don't look for us to be all the same. Oh, we've all got the same identity in that we're children of God. But in the family, just like any natural family, there are different gifts and different abilities that each of us have. And Lord, I thank you for them. And I pray for here in East Mains, Lord, that you would just unlock more of those gifts and those abilities that we have, Lord. That if there are folk here this morning and they don't know the tools that you have given them, if they're not sure of what they are, that as they're serving you, you would just confirm in their lives just what their specific giftings are that they bring into your local church. Lord, I pray for anyone this morning who finds themselves stuck in a situation that they're looking at and wondering what to do about, Lord. You know, that whole nation was stuck. And in came David, a young boy, but he had a faith in you. And you used him to get things going again. Father, I pray maybe for folk this morning, maybe they're someone that been witnessing to and they're just stuck. They don't know what to do next. Lord, reveal to them that next step. Maybe it's a book to give them to read. Maybe it's inviting them for a meal. Maybe it's like what we were talking about last week. Can we open the Bible together, Lord? We can all get stuck at times and situations. But Lord, maybe there's folk here and there's other areas of their life they feel is stuck in. Maybe it's a work situation, a challenge at work that's become a Goliath, and they're stuck and then they're looking at it and they're struggling and they're just running away from it. Lord, just help them. Just bring that before you. Raise their faith as we've looked at the story
of David this morning. You are the God who enables us to face the giants in our lives. Maybe it's a relationship issue, a family issue, an issue with children, or wherever it is again, that, or a broken down relationship with someone, a friend or something like that, that's just become that giant in your life, and you're stuck staring at it and you're stuck looking at it and it's just filling you with fear. Lord, we pray this morning that you would enable that person or that people to face that giant and go out in your strength and to see a change in that situation. Father, we worship you this morning. You're worthy of all our worship. But before we sing our final song, as Mary just plays quietly, why don't you just take a moment and ask God in prayer. God, I know the general things that you call us to, the mission, I know that's a general task, but you know, is there a specific way that you're calling me to be involved in mission? Maybe you know it already and you're just saying, Lord, I give that to you more. Maybe it's something that you don't know. Maybe you're just not sure what it is God's called you in specifically to mission. Maybe it's you're just needing God to just kind of reveal more of how he's gifted you. Just take a moment to just be in his presence and allow him to just minister to your life through his Holy Spirit.